You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
Wednesday morning, October 16th, just delightful, windy, 56 degrees outside, going up to only 68 today, 69 degrees, not going to bust 70, and that's by 4 o'clock this afternoon. Then overnight lows in the area of 52 or so, and then highs tomorrow, even cooler than it was today. Nice weather Friday, Saturday, Sunday, not even getting out of the 70s, so enjoy that. Then we're back in the lower 80s by the middle of next week. And the presidential race is looming, and as I say, we're going to talk about it being a dead heat. Somebody texted in and said, how many people believe that Donald Trump could be leading by as much as 5%, but the mainstream media will report a dead heat? Collusion? No, couldn't happen. Too much honesty and integrity in politics for that ever to occur. Yeah, right. I don't know what the hell this message is supposed to mean, because, first of all, how many people believe? I can believe that, you know, I'm the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, but that doesn't make it true. Secondly, mainstream media, dead heat. I don't know where that has to do with integrity in politics. I don't quite understand what that text is supposed to mean. But David Schultz, professor of political science at Hamline University, it doesn't have to mean anything, does it?
It doesn't have to mean anything. It could just be people emoting, yeah. Just sort of expressing their views. And God bless America. People have a right to express
God
their views.
God bless America is right. But one thing that surprises me, just looking at it as a voter that doesn't really have a horse in the race, because I'm not crazy about either one of these people, but President yesterday talking to Maria Bartiromo, however you say her name, saying that when asked about problems on Election Day, I think the bigger problem is the enemy from within, not even the people that have come in and destroying our country, by the way, totally destroying our country, the towns, the villages, they're being inundated, but that the enemy from within and that the National Guard might have to be called in. I think it should be very easily handled by, if necessary, the National Guard, or really necessary by the military, because they can't let that happen, protecting the election from so-called radical left lunatics. And the only reason I bring all that up is that, you know, if you love Donald Trump, love him. If you hate him, hate him. If you love Kamala Harris, love her. If you hate her, hate her. But from the political analysis standpoint of this, it would seem that Trump has gone, and let me digress for even a moment more, David, if I may. There was a story in the Atlantic where Lindsey Graham was quoted as telling Donald Trump, you already have the people that think the earth are flat and that we didn't land on the moon. You need to move more to the center to try to get them. But it seems as though that Trump has done nothing but double down on the so-called crazy talk, and then that seems to have helped him in the polls. Am I missing something here, or am I misstating that in any way?
No, I think you got it right at this point. I think what's really happened now, especially in the last few weeks and what's going to happen in the last 3 weeks, I don't think either of the candidates really think they can persuade anybody, especially I'm going to say Donald Trump, persuade him to, you know, to change their mind and vote for them. And instead, what I think the focus now for Trump has been on is to say, okay, I've got the people who are with me. I just got to make sure I get them out to vote. And so it's just really getting him riled up even more and more at this point to motivate him to show up to vote. So that's what I think what he's doing versus Harris. Harris still has a little opportunity to be able to maybe persuade a few people who are saying, I don't know really who she is, although I find that hard to believe, and say, I don't know who she, anything about her, not sure if I'm going to vote or if I'm going to vote for her or something. You know, so she's got a little bit more feeling, if I can use the word here, but I think Trump is like, all right, I can't expand my base. I just need to get as many people in my base to show up to vote. And they seem to be resonating with all these statements. Well, what the heck? I'll keep using them.
But going back to that, it would seem as though if Trump is doubling down on his stuff to get his act, let's just call it that because they both have acts, to get people to turn out and vote, well, it would seem like that could also motivate people that hate him to turn out and vote against him, no?
I think you're absolutely correct at this point. I'm also at a point now, and I've got relatives, by the way, in Pennsylvania. You know, so I called them up and said, you know, so what's it like there? You know, and they said it's constant advertising. You know, one of them said to me, I can't wait to watch a car ad on television again. If you sort of get the drift, what we're going at here. But they're at the point where they're saying it's like, you know, I've heard enough commercials. I don't want to hear anymore. And I think we're at the point now where both of the candidates, and there's evidence of this, have so oversaturated the message. It's not even about messaging now. These last 3 weeks, it's just get your people out and vote at this point. And I think that's really where the campaign needs to be shifting in these last 3 weeks, is that the themes have been defined. For the most part, people know who Trump is. For the most part, people know who Harris is. People have made up their minds. And I don't know if you have to do, for either of them, any more selling. You just have to get them out at this point.
I don't know if, you know, I make stuff up here in my head sometimes, and it's just my gut feeling. I have absolutely no evidence to back this up at all. This is just my gut feeling. My gut feeling tells me that the polls are going to be way off, that people are gaming the polls, and that one way or the other, the election is not going to be as close as those are predicting because the choice is so clear between the two. Do you think I'm wrong there?
I think the polls are missing something, and I can't quite figure this out yet.
Maybe that's what I'm trying to say more, David. They're missing something. Something's not surfacing or something.
Yeah. And again, I'm somebody who's taught polling, taught research, you know, survey research. And so I'm trying to speak as much like a political scientist, is that what you're trying to figure out now is who's likely to vote, a show up to vote. And there's at least a couple of people who are profiles of people we can't really figure out. One is young people. And young people are really hard to get out to vote and for pollsters to reach them. I mean, I talked about this yesterday to a group, and I said, you know, young people are hard to reach. And everybody who's a parent said, yeah, I text my kid and I can't get a hold of them. I know what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. But I don't know if young people are accurately tapped in the polls. And by the way, not all young people are supporting Harris. There's a lot of young people who supporting Trump. So they're not being caught really well. And some of the older people who are the Trump people, you know, who are, you know, not sure if they're going to vote or something like that, they may not be appearing. And so I think there's a segment or a couple of segments of the population that I don't think are appearing in the polls right now. And I don't know whether it's going to move it more towards Harris or move it more towards Trump. So I truly don't know one way or the other on this one. And again, I go out and speak to like Rotary groups, you know, community groups like you have, you know, back in your town, something like that. And they all say, who's going to win? And I tell them about the polls and I say, they're going to be off, but I don't know how they're going to be off.
Let me take a break. We'll pick it up. We come back talking to our friend David Schultz, professor of political science at Hamline University. One thing I don't get is that there are those that are saying that Kamala Harris has a problem, and Barack Obama even addressed this with, I guess, kind of like surfacing objection about black male voters.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
...with Kamala Harris, I thought traditionally votes fell along racial lines, but I find it hard to believe that a black man would support Donald Trump. But maybe that's the case. I don't know. But statistically, I don't know why that would happen, but that's what they're saying. We'll drill down on that when we come back. And what specific groups are going to swing this election? David Schultz, professor of political science at Hamline University, 620 Traffic Now, WWL. We're talking to David Schultz, professor of political science at Hamline University, story in the New York Times about the presidential race and black support for Kamala Harris. And there's a quote from a person who owns a tree removal service, black, saying that they would vote for Mr. Trump regardless of how people call him racist and stuff. He is for the country of America. And it would seem to me, if I'm black, the racist would be the top part of that and not the for America. What do the numbers show about traditionally, and again, somebody texted and said I'm racist. I'm not racist at all. I'm just talking about the facts that traditionally it's Democrats attract black voters, correct?
Correct. At least, let's say, since the post-New Deal, since the 1960s, at least. You know, go back 150 years ago, it would have been a different story entirely. You know, but modern history, about 90-95% of African Americans are going to vote for the Democrat. And we have some evidence, you know, that not as many high percentage of African Americans are going to vote, for Democrats in the way they did. And this has been, 25, 30 years ago, and some are moving toward the Republicans. Now, some of it is about the fact that in some cases, class prevails. And what I mean by that is that, you know, middle class African Americans, business owners, in some cases, you know, are moving and saying, well, gosh, I kind of like the message that the Republicans have about maybe cutting taxes on a small business owner, et cetera, et cetera. But in terms of, let us say, wholesale defection, the way that I saw that New York Times piece also, probably not accurate in terms of what we're learning in terms of real polling data. Again, assuming early polling data is accurate.
Well, let me phrase it a different way. What is it about Donald Trump that would appeal to a black male voter?
I'm not sure how much it would be.
Because I didn't see many black men on January 6th at the Capitol.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm not sure if Donald Trump appeals to them, but are black male voters uncomfortable with the idea that a black female might become president of the United States? And that may be the bigger issue. And again, I would want to have more data. I don't want to make a broad-based assertion here, but how much of it now is cutting it in terms of the fact that, you know, in the same way that some males are saying, regardless of race, I'm never going to vote for a woman. You know, how much of that is also people who are African-American, you know, who are males saying, I'm never going to vote for a woman. And I suspect that's probably true. But again, I don't have hard data, you know, in terms of being able, you know, to back that up.
I know what I saw on January 6th. I can go back and show the text that I was sharing with people on January 6th as it unfolded. Some have gone back and rewritten the history of January 6th for their own convenient purposes. Does that factor into this election at all?
The rewriting of the history?
Well, no, the January 6th thing, the whole thing.
Okay. Yes, it does factor in. For some people, it is stolen election. For some people, it is assault on democracy, depending on what your perspective is. And so is it the top issue compared to the economy or immigration or abortion? No. But for some people, this is an issue that's moving them, and it's tapping into their emotions regarding whether they support Trump or oppose Trump.
Somebody texted me a couple of weeks ago and said, I remember what happened on January 6th, and there's no way I'll give him control of the military again, because whoever controls the military controls the country, which seems like a logical, rational thought, but that's got nothing to do with this election.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.